Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to God's house. I will begin reading at Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Over the last several months, there have been many emergency measures that have been taken by those that are in authority in this world. And I heard several say by emergency measures, these are governors and mayors, they're having monuments taken down and they're making people do things that are not in the Constitution and are way above the law, but they're using their emergency measures in order to assert their will upon the people. And I think it is time for you and I to declare a spiritual emergency and begin to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ in this world. Our world needs to know where the power lies, where the authority lies. And I am so thankful for the name of Jesus. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you say that name? Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Thank God for that name. You may be seated. It appears that nothing less than absolute rule over angels, men, and devils can be designed in these extraordinary words. And at the name of Jesus, all intelligent creatures are called to pay honor to the Almighty. I have four purposes in my preaching this morning. Number one is this is a message to awaken the realization within the heart of each believer of the power that is available to us at the name of Jesus, what we have access to. This is not just a static power that's hidden away somewhere, but this is something we have access to immediately in all circumstances. Number two is to remove from the thinking of each person in this building the assumption of any other outcome but victory in whatever situation we find ourselves. This is because of the power available in the name of Jesus. Realize where we're coming from. We're coming from the authority of the name of Jesus. Number three, it is to give you a chance to respond to the word of God at the end of my preaching and appropriate the name of Jesus in your individual situation. It's like having a bank account and leaving it lie and not doing anything about it if we do not use the authority of the name of Jesus in our circumstance. And finally, it is to collectively invoke the power of the name of Jesus upon every circumstance represented in this room today and in our society at large. And today I offer you truths from the Word of God and then some observations from living for the Lord over many years. We live in a flawed world. I'm going to make some obvious statements. We live among fallen creatures. And this happened because man disobeyed God and ceded his dominion to Satan. When God created man and he put him in the garden, he gave him dominion over the fish, the fowl, and the beast. He said, they're all yours. You're controlling. So we understand he had it but ceded it. But now when God gives his authority back to us, we must take that authority. The majority of our fellow human travelers are living according to the dictates of the flesh. And this can be only lead to degeneration and can only cause society to fracture. It's happened before, and the damage could not be fixed by mankind when society fractured. Mankind is not able to save this earth. When God, the Creator, determined to destroy it by the flood, none can stop it. All they could do is say, "We will submit." And when he destroys it by fire, none will be able to stop him again. Mankind was not able to save himself when the flood came. And all that did not follow God's narrowly defined escape plan perished in the flood. And God had a very narrow plan. We can read about the ark, and there was one door. And you had to go in that one door or you didn't get saved. We know that Christ is the door. Anybody else that comes any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. And when he destroys it by fire, none will be able to stop him. The Tower of Babel was also a colossal failure. This has been proven time and again. Man cannot save himself. And this, all that did follow and did follow God's narrowly planned escape were saved, and all those that did not were lost. And in this dispensation, there is a very narrow band width of escape. There are those that are saying the way to freedom is rebellion and lawlessness. There are those that are saying the way to freedom is through constricting our movements and the only way that we can live free from disease. But we know that there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We know there's only one way. There are three realms today that I want to address that affect us. Every struggle and triumph comes from the health or the weakness of one of these areas. The scripture we initially read talks about things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. The act and affirmation of creation shows us the dominion of God over all earthly creation. He is in charge. In Genesis 1 and 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved, was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And we can read through the rest of the verses of that chapter, the ensuing verses, and see again and again and again, God took dominion and he created something out of nothing or brought something out of the earth. After having walked with Jesus during his earthly ministry, having lived for approximately 60 years following the day of Pentecost and following the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos, John writes his last letter. In John 1 and 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing. Nothing was made that was made." It says this Word made everything. Through his Word, everything that we can see. Nothing that exists, exists without that Word. And the verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what we see here is that Word became flesh, and we know him by the name of Jesus. It was the authority of the name of Jesus that created the heavens and the earth, that created all things that we can see and we cannot see. This is why the Apostle Paul declares to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and 26, "For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." It all belongs to him. Yes, we use it. You know why he was able to give authority to Adam? Is because it was his to give authority over. Now, Adam ceded that authority, and we know the prince and the power of the air or the powers of darkness rule, but it doesn't rule totally. Thank God it does not rule in us. So the supremacy of Christ in the heavenly realm declares his power. The earth belongs to him. He has authority over the earth. And everything in heaven is rightfully and obviously submitted to the name of Jesus. This is where the name of Jesus was first known, and this is where his name was first spoken. This is where the angel came from that declared to Joseph, his name shall be called. The name of Jesus reflects that his origin is in heaven. God with us. Our Jehovah has become our salvation. And at the end of his earthly journey, and at the end of doing what he was commissioned to come to do, is to live and bleed and die and rise again. The book of Ephesians tells us this in chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who has descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So it's talking about the fact that when Christ died, he was buried. Well, he wasn't dead that whole time. Something was going on in the spirit realm. Because remember, we're not a body with a spirit. We're a spirit with a body, just like he was. He was a spirit that inhabited a body. And when he was crucified, the Bible said he preached to those in captivity. And I don't have time to go over the details of it, but when death happened in that realm or in that dispensation, some went to Abraham's bosom, a place of rest. Others went to a place of torment. And it lets us know that Christ preached to those that were in captivity, those who had not had a chance to respond to the gospel. And he did something in the other world, under the earth. That's where we always talk about hell being. Now, I don't know where it really is, but it's under the earth. And we know it's a place, a lake of fire. But he went there and he delivered those that were in Gehenna, the place of the dead. And now he's ascended above all. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, in whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And so it says, after he did all that, he died, he was buried, he went into the nether world, he preached to the captives, and he led the captivity captive. He gave gifts to men. He's now ascended on high, and he sits at the right hand of power. He has the authority, and he has a name that is above every name, even the name of the angels. There are people that pray to angels now. And they ask angels to help them, and they have their angels, Michael the archangel, and they do this in religions across America and across the world. But he has a name that is greater than that of the angels. Why pray to a lower name when you can pray to a higher name? Why call for your big brother to help you when dad's around? I mean, think about it. That's the way we look at it. We don't call on a title. We call on a name. We don't just call on a generic God. We call on him by name. By him and for him All things were created. Listen to Paul's testimony to the church at Colossae in chapter number 1. And I'm reading a lot of scripture because the authority is in the word of God. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we've been taken from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of Christ. So we're no longer where Adam led us to. We're where God has led us to. We're no longer subservient to the one to whom power was seated, but now we have power over the one that took dominion from Adam and Eve, because we're in the kingdom of the Son. We're not under, but we're over. We're not the tail, we're the head. We're not living in fear, but we're living in love. We're not living in doubt, but we're living in faith. In whom, verse 14 says, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You notice the wording there, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. That means that he's supreme. And in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. He is above all. He's above our governments. He is above any authority that would preach or teach any other doctrine. He is above Antifa. He is above the BLM. I don't care what you say. These are ungodly movements. This isn't a political statement. It's a spiritual statement. We must not walk alongside those of filthy spirits. They will impact our spirits. But who are you standing with? Let's stand in the power of the name of Jesus and in the spirit of our Almighty God. It's not about our rights, but it's about him being right. It's not about us being above, but it's about his supremacy. The name of Jesus is so important. It must not be made less than. It must not be liquidated or watered down. The name of Jesus is not just any other name. It's the name that's above every name. Why? Because he's the creator of all things and he's the redeemer of all mankind. How much better can you get that the one who created now redeems the one that has fallen that he has created? That's how much he loves us. I watch people, they have possessions and they've begun to decay, and I think, why don't you throw that thing away? Well, it's mine and someday I'm going to fix it up. Sometimes I watch things on YouTube, you know, where they're rescuing barn finds. You know, somebody has this 1967 Jaguar and it's been parked since 1986 and it's just decayed and decayed and decayed and decayed because it wasn't used, and somebody pulls it out and renovates it and it looks marvelous and fantastic. But they hang on to it with hopes of making it better. Don't just hang on to your own life. Lose your life for his sake. And when you do, you will find it. The rebellion we're seeing across our nation especially is not where the answer is. It's not in standing up for our own rights and rebelling against authority, but it's submitting to the one who has all authority and surrendering to his spirit. I declare a state of emergency. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. We need to preach in the name of Jesus. We need to declare freedom in the name of Jesus and healing in the name of Jesus. The power is in the name of Jesus. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. Everything in heaven must submit to the name of Jesus. And everything on earth must submit to the name of Jesus. Earth was created by Him. Everything on this earth was made from the elements created by Him. The waters that obeyed the voice of God during the days of Noah were created by Him. And the fig tree obeyed and failed to bear fruit at the voice of Jesus. The wind ceased to blow at the voice of Jesus. The dead were raised at the voice of Jesus. The lame walked at the voice of Jesus. Sins were forgiven at the voice of Jesus. And the authorities, the hypocritical authorities that declared themselves to be religious authorities, were silenced at the voice of Jesus. Oh, let the voice of Jesus be heard today. Speak the name of Jesus, church. The power is in the name of Jesus. You and I aren't going to win the war by asserting our own voice, but if we'll declare His name, all power in heaven and earth is given to that name. Everything under the earth is held in check by the name of Jesus. Lucifer was sent to this place by God. The angels that were deceived by Lucifer were sent to that place by God. The demons at the Catarines asked if they were going to be tormented and sent into the pit before their time. The lost angels lost their first estate. They can never go back to heaven. There's only been one rebellion in heaven. There'll never be rebellion again in heaven. It will not enter there. The Bible says that city, sin will not enter there. Satan himself found it necessary to ask God to pull down the hedge around Job. And when he contended over the body of Moses, he lost. Oh, he can only negotiate. He cannot declare. But Jesus does not negotiate. He declares. He didn't say, please, wind, could you settle down a little? No, he just said, peace, be still. He didn't ask death if it let loose of the grip of the little boy that was laying on the bier as they were carrying him toward the cemetery. No, he said, arise. He didn't ask if the blind man could be healed. He didn't ask if the leper could be released from his disease. No, he just said it. There's power in the name of Jesus. The life and the ministry of Jesus revealed this might and dominion over all three realms that we have discussed. In heaven, in earth, under the earth. And after His death, His burial and resurrection. And I don't want to get too theological, but Jesus did come to live and bleed and die for your sins and my sins. And I realized He was God in the flesh. But the only way that He could get dominion over sin was to shed His blood and die. The blood of Jesus is so important. The name of Jesus is so important. And when He lived and bled and died, it was after His resurrection. He's standing with His disciples on the mountain in verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to a mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Why? Because He lived and bled and died and said, Father, forgive them. And then rose again with all power in His voice. Everything in heaven must submit to the name of Jesus. Everything on earth must submit to the name of Jesus. Everything under the earth must submit to the name of Jesus. I told you one of the purposes for my preaching today was to awaken a realization within the heart of each of us as believers as to the power that is available in the name of Jesus. And remember, He didn't just walk away and say, well, now you've seen it, now you don't. He didn't just perform all this miraculous stuff and then escape and said, well, in a couple thousand years, I'll come back with all power in my hand. And this time I won't be a lamb, I'll be a lion. He didn't walk away and say, well, you saw me defeated, but next time I'm to be the victor. The second reason I gave you was to remove from the thinking of each person in this building the assumption of any other outcome but victory in whatever situation we find ourselves in because of the power available in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how long it draws out. It doesn't matter how it looks in our visible, physical, human thinking. We've got to keep declaring the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we can whisper that name and he hears it. We can shout the name of Jesus. We need to preach the name of Jesus. We need to teach in the name of Jesus. We need to declare the name of Jesus over our life, over our children, over our lost loved ones, over our sickness, over our disease, and over our failures. As you stand today, I told you the third reason that I was preaching this is so that you would have a chance to respond to the Word of God and appropriate the name of Jesus over your individual situation and circumstance. I know we don't know all that's going on in everybody's life, and we put on a good, pretty good smile sometimes. If our mask is off, people can see it. One of the problems with our world is I notice that when I have my mask on, people don't even want to look me in the eye. It's like the mask of shame. I believe, this is just my opinion, part of the plan of our government is to separate us from one another and disconnect us from each other because they know there's power in unity. What we're seeing is the power of unified negativity right now. We're seeing the same spirit that worked at the Tower of Babel when God said, you go and you replenish the earth. And they said, we think we'll do it our own way. And they all spoke one language and one tongue. And so they began to get together and they built this tower that would reach into the heavens. Why? So they wouldn't be separated. Why? So that when a flood came, it would never destroy them. But they're dumb because God said he wasn't going to destroy it by a flood again. Next time it's going to be fire. So what did God do? He said, I'm going to confuse your languages. So you can't do what you want to do because it's anti-God. It's against my plan. The only thing that is going to change our world today is if there is a heavenly language that comes into the lives of men and women. They are bonded together from every culture and from every tongue and from every nation. And I know they're organized and I don't want to get into all the politics of it, but they're being used by the enemy to be anti-God and to be anti-government. And you don't think that if you get rid of government, everything's going to be better. It's going to be anarchy. Anarchy isn't pretty. We've seen it around our world when there's been rebellion. The only answer is to submit to Jesus, to submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of peace. And we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That's what we need. We need a Holy Ghost revival. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our world. We don't need a change in government. We don't need statues to topple. We don't need to eradicate or erase history. What we need to do is submit to the name of Jesus. And so whatever your individual need is, we're going to give you a chance to begin to declare that in just a moment. And you can say, God, I have a job need in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray the name of Jesus over this. Or I have struggle in my family and I'm going to invoke the name of Jesus over it. Or I have sickness or disease and I'm going to invoke the name of Jesus. I've been wrestling in my mind and I just can't get it together, but I'm going to plead the blood in the name of Jesus over my mind. You know what's wild is that sometimes I can sit in my office, especially in the morning, and just open the door and I'll have all the lights off except for my lamp over my desk and just speak the name of Jesus gently, and it's like the world goes away. That's not magic, that's reality. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run therein and are safe. We requested prayer several nights ago for Brother Dwayne Dion. He's driving TriMet and he has to go through downtown and they're throwing rocks and bottles and everything at the buses. And he was very fearful and he got out of town fine. But he texted last night and I think I can find it right here on the app because I don't want to misquote him. I want you to see exactly what he had to say about the prayer team praying for him. He says, pretty amazing deal in town tonight. This was last night. People meeting the bus with sticks, stones, and whatever else they had in their hands. At this point, I text my wife and asked her to pray. When exiting downtown, it was as if I was invisible. Yes. A 40-foot bus, invisible. No one paid me any attention or even acknowledged I was even there. No one even looked at me, the bus or nothing. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. You and I can be in the midst of turmoil. But oh, the name of Jesus. Oh, they prayed in the name of Jesus and the angel walked right into the cell, opened it up, took the chains off, led Peter out into the street, and it wasn't until he got out in the street he realized he was free. And they didn't even know he escaped, probably until morning. The name of the Lord. You see, Jesus said, all power is given to me. But in Mark 16 and 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, in other words, in Jesus' name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So now through you and me, everything in heaven must submit to the name of Jesus. We don't pray to angels, but we pray in Jesus' name, and he dispatches the angels, Hebrews 1 tells us. Everything on earth must submit to the name of Jesus through you and me. And everything under the earth, the demonic forces must submit to the name of Jesus. You see, the first battle was lost by mankind on earth through the lust of the flesh, but if we, through the Spirit, submit to God, and we bury the flesh by the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, we come out in newness of life. And we say, hey, that old carnal man, it's dead. And I come in the authority of the name of Jesus, and I say, sin has no more dominion, no more authority in my life. What greater thing to happen? How does it happen? Through the name of Jesus. You and I must submit to the name of Jesus, then activate the name of Jesus, embrace the name of Jesus, be proud of the name of Jesus, be covered by the name of Jesus, be baptized into the name of Jesus, and then appropriate the power of the name of Jesus. So for just a moment, as they begin to sing, I just want you to begin to breathe the name of Jesus, pray the name of Jesus, maybe even shout the name of Jesus over your individual circumstances. Let's begin to pray over our own circumstances. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I take dominion, Lord, over fear in the name of Jesus. I take